At sunset, light ripples across waves in an open sea. A logo fades in by a rock formation, Marvista Entertainment. At Mount Rushmore, a father and his teenage son approach the viewing platform. The teenager wears headphones.
This is something everybody should see. Oh, come on, take those off, would you? This is so cool. Look at that. See the guy with the goofy hair? It's Thomas Jefferson. Originally, he was supposed to be on the other side of Washington, but they screwed it up, so they had to blow his face off with dynamite.
Cool. Did they ever parkour it?
No, only in the movies. North by Northwest, classic Hitchcock. Oh, come on, Hitchcock? The director, Alfred Hitchcock? Big fat guy, fatter than your Uncle Ted. Oh.
An American flag flutters on a pole.
Do you hear that?
A faint glow in the sky races closer, and its fiery tail comes into view. The asteroid flies overhead and crashes into Jefferson's face on the monument. The father snaps pictures while the rock crumbles away from the impact site. Elsewhere, an aerial camera surveils a town. At the United States Aerospace Commission, a man in a suit supervises a team working at computers.
Walter, get me data from BRM-4 and reposition the space weather satellites from its polar orbit. I want to know why we didn't see this coming.
Sir, we could bring ALAT online.
You know damn well why that satellite was decommissioned.
Adams, where's the feed from Helios 2B? We need to see what they're seeing. And where the hell is that line to NORAD?
Sir, we have projected trajectories on three of the largest meteoroids. The rest won't survive reentry. Estimated impact, 30 minutes.
The man in the suit, Barker, approaches a semi-transparent screen showing the projected impact sites on a map of the American West Coast. Red dots cluster around southwestern Canada and the northwestern United States.
I want a public alert.
An alert for what?
Whatever gets people indoors and undercover. I want a high alert for the Pacific Northwest. Now.
Text appears over black. Marvista Entertainment presents a Frostbite Pictures production in association with 24 The Money Media. Asteroid, Final Impact.
The International Space Program came under fire today when astrophysicist Steve Thomas released information to the media.
It was intended to be an advanced satellite warning system using technology designed to detect interstellar bodies.
I have nothing further to say at this moment, thank you.
You're saying you agree with what Thomas did?
All I'm saying is, if the ALAT was being used as it was intended, instead of spying on us, you wouldn't have had to
risk
anything.
They shut down the program while the investigations continue.
I was just trying to save lives.
A surveillance camera drifts above a bed of clouds in the daytime. Text, Pacific Northwest. In a city, a mossy tree hangs over a cozy house with a white picket fence. A TV plays inside.
The asteroid GX210 was expected to pass about 350,000 kilometers from Earth at around 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It has somehow disappeared, baffling astronomers worldwide. Head of State John Rowan continues his struggle to restore trust in America's International Space Program.
You look horrible.
I feel horrible because I'm hungover, big brother.
No, you're not getting any sympathy from me.
I don't want sympathy.
The integrity of this program came into question last month when astrophysicist Steve Thomas went public with the dual role of ALAT.
Hey!
Steve is the older brother.
Satellite.
Since when is it illegal to tell the truth in this country?
You know, for a patriot, you look like a terrorist.
Classified documents released to the media detail the satellite's ability to illegally access data streams from other satellites circling the globe. In other news, we've received reports of a landslide at Mount Rushmore.
What is this? Quiche? It's crustless. Doesn't that make it an omelet?
Why do I bother?
Why do you bother? Because you needed a place to stay, and I was good enough to give you one. Mm. That's why you bother.
Just a little reminder, this was Mom and Dad's place, and they left it to both of us.
Speaking of moving in, you talked to Maggie?
No.
That's okay. Just trying to cramp my style while you're here.
Oh, your style?
Yeah. It's like, say, if I wanted to bring a girl home.
Oh, a girl, huh?
What, that's funny to you?
Uh-huh.
Because it almost happened last night. You should have seen this girl. She was gorgeous and smart and...
And?
Steve's brother puts a hand over his own mouth in shock and worry.
I think she was a reporter.
You think she was?
No, I'm actually pretty sure she was a reporter. Look, I know we're not supposed to talk to the press, but you're famous. And if I don't use that to pick up girls, then what good is it?
What did you tell her? I don't remember, but I'm sure it wasn't bad. Come on, you know me.
I'm a vault. Did I mention she was gorgeous? Come on, it won't happen again. I'm sorry.
I gotta go. Don't forget to take out the garbage.
Okay, so now we're mad.
On the front lawn, Steve carries a pair of mugs to the curb, where two agents with earpieces sit in a parked sedan. Steve bends down to the open window.
Hey, I thought you two might like a coffee. It's a new Colombian free trade roast I just picked up.
Mr. Thomas.
Please, you guys have been trailing me for 3 weeks. I figure we should be on a first name basis.
Mr. Thomas, we don't want your coffee.
I do.
The woman's fellow agent gives him a look, and Steve hands him a mug. Steve grins at the other agent, and she accepts reluctantly.
I'm gonna head to my house now. I'll try not to run any red lights on the way over.
The male agent sips coffee as Steve heads to his car.
That's good. Good coffee.
Shut up, Douglas.
A mother and son read a message in red paint on a garage door. Traitor.
Are they ever going to leave us alone?
It's nothing a little paint won't fix, okay? It'll sell quick, you'll see.
Yeah, I doubt it. Dad's the biggest whistleblower since Snowdy. But people hate him. They hate us.
Hey, not everybody.
Steve's compact car pulls into the driveway of the large house, and he waves at the agent's car as it passes. His wife and kid approach him.
Still being harassed.
Yeah, your tax dollars hard at work. Wow. Yard looks empty without all those reporters camping out. Hey, what happened?
Oh, it's nothing.
Kyle got in a fight at school.
Again, how many times has this happened?
Mom.
Too many. The sooner we sell this house and get out of town, the better.
Look, I can take care of myself, okay?
I'm sorry, bud.
The real estate agent said that you'd be here by now, so...
That was dinner with Nosy Nora.
Hey, don't call her that. Okay, my sister cares.
I care.
Really? Do you?
I'm not invisible.
Of course you're not, honey.
But you're not supposed to fight in front of your children. It's like parenting 101.
We're not fighting.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not. We're discussing.
Well, hey, if we're discussing, then let's talk about not selling the house.
Sweetheart.
A van parks behind Steve's car.
Is this your agent?
A stylish woman gets out and Steve's wife narrows her eyes.
No. Steve Thomas, it is an honor to meet you. I'm Sandra Gibbons.
Oh, Kyle Thomas.
You're the youngest scientist to compete in the UIAF rocket competition.
I really enjoyed your article on how technology represents the biggest threat to civil liberties. It was great.
And you are?
I'm a reporter for the Wyman University newspaper.
Okay, please don't talk to my son.
I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas, but if I could just have a few minutes of your time for an
No
interview.
Interviews. Please get off my property.
I'm a friend of Bill's. He said that if I mention his name that you would talk to me.
Bill. He told you I was going to be here?
He's a nice guy. Really nice. I met him just...
At the bar last night?
They all pull out their phones.
This is the emergency broadcast system.
Made it. This isn't tornado weather.
Steve's brother Bill works on a cable dish.
You know why I have a television?
Can't say that I do.
Well, I want to watch Bonanza. But instead, I had to purchase bundled channels. Now I got entire stations dedicated to chopping vegetables. Yeah, I feel your pain. Hey, you want me to hold a ladder?
No, I'm all right. You hear that?
Can't hear a damn thing.
A meteor blazes across the sky and hits the ground. The blast waves knock the cable guy off his ladder.
Oh. What the hell was that?
In the driveway.
It's a meteor shower.
Jack, get down!
They crouch in the exposed driveway, and another meteor misses them.
Everyone okay?
You okay?
Yeah?
Yeah. That was close.
Yeah. I'm gonna go take a look.
Okay.
All four of them hurry into the backyard, where the rock touched down. Sandra takes pictures, and Steve and Kyle approach a smoking pile of debris.
This is so cool.
Yeah, be careful though.
Yeah, keep your distance.
Sandra takes a video of the burnt streak in the grass.
Well, how big do you think?
Size of a football, maybe? We were lucky.
Dr. Thomas, the warning said tornado. Why weren't we notified earlier?
I don't know.
Do you think there are more coming?
Hard to say. The odds of another one landing anywhere near here are pretty slim.
Hey, you okay?
Kinda. I think I sprained my tailbone. Is that a thing? You there with Kyle and Maggie?
Yeah, they're fine.
So is your little reporter friend.
She's there?
Uh-huh. She is.
She's drop dead gorgeous, right?
I gotta go.
Is Bill okay?
He's good. Listen, I need your help.
And I need an interview.
Stay back.
Using a small device, Steve takes a reading of the smoke coming off the streak.
Be careful, Dad.
It's clean. No radiation.
Kyle hands his dad a trowel, and Steve sifts through the char to pick up a softball-sized rock. Sandra captures it on video.
Wow. A real-life meteorite.
Just looks like an ordinary rock.
It doesn't look ordinary to me.
Okay, whoa. If you're gonna dissect that in the house,
I'll clean up my mess.
Okay, because the real estate agent's gonna be here any minute. Dr. Thomas, why didn't it burn up on entry?
Well, it did, sort of. The Earth is constantly bombarded by meteors all the time. About 90% burn up on entry. The entry velocity puts so much pressure on the object that it causes it to fragment.
You're a smart kid.
Hey, not a kid. 16.
Okay. An IQ of 154. Wow, like father, like son.
The aerial view pans over the town with crosshairs. At the USAC, Barker talks on a phone while he paces the operations room.
Our preliminary calculations indicate it'd be confined to the northern latitudes.
Well, sir, we don't know what this is. This is unprecedented. No, sir, we still haven't been able to locate GX210. Yes, sir, a media blackout is a good idea until we have the answers. I'll make a statement to deflect, agreed? Yes, sir, I'll keep you posted. Casey. I want all satellites that still have eyes redirected, and I want operational status on those that were damaged.
Okay.
Casey stretches out his wrists and gets to work. A satellite view hovers over the Thomas's house. At the kitchen island, Steve examines a section of the meteorite.
Hmm. That's interesting.
What?
Look at the texture.
It's almost zero porosity.
I've never seen anything like it.
Steve, you're gonna want to see this.
The asteroid GX210 was being tracked by the International Satellite Program when it suddenly disappeared. Did the meteor storm have anything to do with GX210?
I can't answer that question. At this time, we're still in the process of investigating this phenomenon.
Well, this phenomenon, as you call it, killed 12 Americans and injured dozens more. What assurance can you give us that this won't happen again?
This won't happen again.
You're evading the question.
And you, ma'am, are fear-mongering. I've nothing further to say at this moment.
Wow. He's arrogant.
And he's hiding something. I need a strong microscope. I'm gonna go to the lab.
Your lab is on lockdown.
Someone will let me in.
Who? You alienated everybody you know with your little whistleblowing stunt. You stay.
I can get you into a lab at the university.
Yeah?
It's fully loaded.
Maggie, I am so sorry. I'm late. I was on my way over here when the meteor storm hit.
I know, we saw.
Goodness, wasn't it just the scariest thing?
Steve, this is Roberta, our real estate agent.
I don't know if what you did was right or wrong, but I will tell you this, Mr. Thomas, I am going to sell your house and get you top dollar.
Kyle shakes his head, disappointed, and heads off.
Sorry, you're going to have to brief me later. I have to go.
Steve, you promised me that we were going to list this house today.
Market's tight. We need to act fast.
Steve.
I'm sorry, Maggie, but I have to figure out exactly what this is. I'll call you.
To Sandra.
Give me 5 minutes.
She nods, and Steve hustles upstairs to talk with Kyle in his room. Kyle sits in front of a model spacecraft and astronaut.
Hey, bud. You okay?
Yep, fine.
You sure?
I'm fine, okay?
Sandra's gonna take me to the university.
But when I'm done, we'll grab a burger, take it a movie. Yeah, guys' night out, we'll go. Grab 2 burgers, watch 2 movies. What do you think?
Sure. Whatever.
Hey, bud.
Just go, okay? Just go.
Stung, Steve puts his hands in his pockets and backs out.
Think of a movie.
Kyle tilts his head back, annoyed. At the university lab, Sandra films Steve peering through a microscope.
Tell me about ALATCH, your asteroid locating and tracking project.
I'm busy.
We had a deal. I record everything you discover about the space rock and you give me an interview.
The ALAP program is a satellite equipped with radar and infrared technology that enables us to detect asteroids by their heat signatures instead of reflected sunlight alone.
I already know that. You leaked the information, remember? Look, I need a real story. When did you know that your project was just another illegal global surveillance program?
It wasn't my program. There were other scientists involved in its development.
You were the team leader. It was your baby. How did you find out that the military had turned ALAT into a spy satellite being used against our allies?
He focuses on a document.
Would you go public again if you knew what the fallout would be?
I'd be damned.
Is that a yes?
When a meteor enters Earth's atmosphere, the air friction causes the surface to burn, creating a glass-like shell.
He takes a glass vial and the meteor fragment to the sink.
And?
This one didn't. Something about its composition makes its surface non-reflective.
As Sandra puts on safety goggles, Steve places the dark chunk in a sink and draws a bit of liquid from the vial into a dropper. He drips the liquid onto the meteorite, and it fizzles, then glows brilliantly for a moment.
Whoa! Whoa! What happened?
It expanded because our space rock contains sodium phosphide.
Sodium phosphide like detergent?
No, it's a black ionic salt that contains the alkali metal sodium and the phosphide anion.
Hey, can I have a piece?
Yourself.
A few students enter the lab.
Isn't that the discreet scientist?
This interview's over. Send me the footage.
Are you kidding me? That's it?
Steve leaves in a hurry. As he makes his way down a stairwell and into a parking garage, he dials a number. Casey picks up at the USAC.
Don't hang up.
What do you want?
Can you talk?
And get fired? I don't think so.
Sodium phosphide.
What about it?
It, along with several other metal alloys that I'm not familiar with, showed up in the meteorite I dug up out of my backyard this morning.
Impossible. All of these samples we collected and tested are classic stony iron.
Remnants of GX-210?
Looks like it suffered an integrity breakdown from Earth's gravitational pull. We think it imploded.
I just tested mine at the university. It's not a remnant of GX-210.
I'll bring it in. I'll have a look.
No. Until I know what it is, it stays with me.
For what it's worth, Steve. I'm sorry. I should have spoke out when you did.
Why didn't you?
I couldn't. I gotta go.
Barker strides by Casey's desk, and Casey swallows hard, then exhales. In the parking garage, Sandra finds Steve tapping his key fob.
Lose something?
My car.
Came with me, Dr. Thomas.
Right.
Do you want to ride home?
Yes, thank you.
So, is the sodium phosphide in a meteor rare?
Yes.
The kind of rare that your ALAT satellite would pick up?
No comment.
He gives her a knowing smile. Intrigued, she matches his smile and gets in the car. Her van rolls out of the parking garage. At twilight, a silhouetted passenger jet soars. At a control tower.
Flight 114, we're tracing multiple objects inbound. Can you visualize?
Whoa!
A meteorite sails past the plane.
That was a near miss. I have no idea what that was. Tower? It looked like a meteor.
The satellite camera focuses on a sailboat cutting through open water. Text, South Pacific. The flaming tails of meteorites soar past the sunset. At night in the Pacific Northwest, Sandra pulls into Bill's driveway and shuts the van off. The faint glow of her headlights cuts out, leaving Steve and her in the dark vehicle.
Thanks again for all your help.
You're welcome.
You don't need Bill to get to me.
Until I get the rest of my no-holds-barred interview, he's fair game.
Why are you so pushy?
Because I need this, Dr. Thomas. For a thesis report, and right now this story is my best shot at graduating.
No. Don't be surprised if you don't get what you're expecting. When I think of the mess my life has become, I'm not so sure I did the right thing.
You did. And don't you forget it.
Good night.
Steve climbs out and shuts the door. He notices the agents parked at the curb, snapping photos. After Sandra drives off, he stomps over.
Don't you people have anything better to do?
You are a national security risk, Mr. Thomas. We will continue to monitor you and your family.
You leave my family out of this.
You broke the law and betrayed the country. You don't get to make demands.
Since when is it illegal to tell the truth in this country?
Just doing our job, Steve.
I hope you and Maggie work out these trust issues.
Seething, Steve makes his way inside. Douglas snaps a few more photos. Steve slides his bag and coat off and joins Bill and Maggie in the kitchen.
People still need to hook up their dish no matter what happens to TV networks. I tell you, I make more working direct than I ever did for the cable comms.
Hey, Maggie brought us pizza. This beer's in the fridge.
Thanks.
What did you think of Sandra? Huh?
Smart girl.
Yeah, she's smart, and she's hot. Who would have thought a girl like that would be interested in a guy like me? But it happens.
So, how'd it go with the real estate agent?
Fine. She took some pictures. Place is gonna be listed at the end of the week.
Cocking with you?
Nope. He's with my sister.
Is he Nora?
Nosy Nora takes an interest.
Kyle knows the importance of that meteor find.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your teenage son is perfectly fine coming second to a flying rock.
You know what? I feel like you two need to talk, so I'll just be in the other room, creeping on a reporter's Facebook. If you need me, that's where.
Kyle's rocket launch competition is in 2 days. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, no.
Told you about it over a month ago when he won the state preliminary.
I'll call him.
Don't bother. You don't take an interest, Steve. You prioritize everything else over Kyle, and he feels that.
I thought he was upset about us selling the house.
Well, he's upset about a lot of things.
This is such a mess.
Yeah, it is. Kyle and I understand the courage that it took for you to go public, but I don't think that you understand the courage that it took for us to deal with the aftermath. He's been bullied and beaten trying to defend you. And where are you when he needs you? Hmm? Where are you when I need you?
I'm here. I've always been here for you and Kyle. Part of the team.
You went public about a spy satellite without telling us. We had no way to prepare ourselves. How is that, being part of a team?
I was trying to protect you.
Well, you've failed.
Maggie grabs her coat and stalks out of the kitchen, leaving Steve to stare at the pizza box on the table. Bill returns tentatively and takes a seat beside his brother.
Gonna go after her?
No, how can I? She's right.
A satellite view shows the United States lit up at night. In the morning, Bill pushes aside a curtain on the front door and peers at the agent's car.
What do you want, weirdos?
Steve comes over.
I could do that job.
What?
Yeah, sitting on my ass all day, drinking coffee, watching people. You think they use hemorrhoid cushions? Hey,
I gotta go.
Hey, I'm just trying to make...
No, I gotta get out of here without those goons following me.
Whoa, what's up?
I have a meeting with Casey. It's important.
How important?
I may have to bring my old satellite back online to prove the existence of a very dangerous asteroid.
I have an idea. It's an oldie, but a goodie. Give me 2 minutes.
Smiling, Bill runs through the house. Now, the agents watch the front door open. Steve steps out carrying a large telescope while staring up at the sky. He sets the telescope tripod on the lawn while Bill sneaks around behind him.
What the hell is he up to?
Bird watching?
I don't see anything.
Bill creeps up behind the agent's car with a bunch of bananas. Buying time, Steve tweaks the position of the telescope. The agents crane their necks to see the sky. Bill squats and stuffs the car's exhaust pipe full of bananas. Steve makes a move toward his car.
He's on the move.
Steve starts his car and quickly pulls out. The agent's car rocks to a stop after a few feet.
What the hell?
They get out.
Shit.
Damn it!
Douglas's partner Jenkins stiffens her jaw, staring down the road. At the university, two people walk out the front doors. Steve motors up the ramp to the parking garage. He parks and strides across the garage, then makes a phone call.
I've got to ask you another favor.
I don't think they're going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe thing again. Plus, I'm out of bananas.
I need you to come to Wyman U. Drive into the underground parking lot. You'll see my car wait for me.
Ooh, cloak and dagger. I like it.
This is serious, Bill.
I know it's serious. I'll be there in an hour. I just got some installations to do.
An hour?
Yeah. I got bills to pay, buddy.
As a reminder, I said very
dangerous asteroid.
Okay, fine. I'll drop everything and meet you.
Bill gets in his work van. A logo on the side reads Bill's Cable. Deep within the stacks in a library, Steve looks through rows of endless books, then spots Casey by a window and approaches.
You're 2 minutes late, would you relax? They think you're a threat to the country. If I'm caught, Casey, I get it. But it's worth the risk.
Steve lays his bag on a table and pulls out a document. Casey reads it.
What the hell is this?
That's what I said. Here. Check it out.
Casey studies the meteorite fragment.
I think GX-210 collided with a dark asteroid and shattered. That's what caused this meteor storm.
A dark asteroid? Are you kidding me?
It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Almost non-existent albedo with a featureless electromagnetic spectrum. The X-ray diffractometer could only detect traces of sodium phosphide. Unknown silicates make up the rest of the composition.
This is way out in left field. I mean, we don't even know what this is made out of.
That's why I roughed up the simulation this morning.
Steve opens a laptop.
Look at the original trajectory. I mean, GX-210 didn't just fall apart. It was knocked off course.
There's too many variables to know exactly what happened.
That's why we need a visual. If this is out there, we need to do a complete orbit computation.
Dark asteroids don't reflect the sunlight. They absorb it. The only way that they can be seen is with infrared.
Exactly. That's why we need to get ALAT up and running.
That entire wing got shut down once a scandal hit. If the feds see you anywhere near there, they're gonna shoot first and ask questions later. What if you're wrong?
What if GX-210 simply did implode?
Your astro chunk could have been floating by and got caught up in the debris. I won't go to jail on a hunch.
We designed and built ALAT for this exact situation. It's an unknown, Casey. Right now, there could be an asteroid on the same trajectory as that meteor storm. An asteroid we can't see coming. If it's big enough to take out GX-210, we're talking about a potential planet killer.
Casey shifts, antsy.
Okay.
He reaches for a pen and paper, then jots something down and hands the paper to Steve.
No access codes. Do whatever you have to do, but don't include me. We're done.
I need more than access codes, Casey.
I don't want you near me ever again.
Casey rushes off, making sure to avoid a library patron browsing a shelf nearby. Tree-covered mountains flank the Great Wall at Mushanyu, China. A few visitors walk the steps on a sunny day. The stone pathway stretches on for miles up the hills. In the sky above, three flaming trails shoot by over the Great Wall. In a parking garage, Bill sits in his parked truck, listening to the radio.
Yesterday's meteor storm has been classified as a freak celestial occurrence, but unconfirmed reports of similar meteor activity from around the globe are appearing online. Officials are unavailable for comment.
Steve climbs in the passenger seat.
You want to tell me why you've got me watching your car all day?
Casey's gonna help me get the satellite up and running. To do that, I need you to help me break into my old lab.
Serious?
End of the world serious.
What's the plan?
I got an idea.
I hope it's a good one.
Bill backs the van out. At Steve's house, Maggie hangs in Kyle's doorway. He mopes while packing up his science-themed room.
Hello, can I come in?
Yeah, sure. It's not my room anymore.
So, you getting nervous about the competition tomorrow?
Nope. Probably not gonna win anyway.
Hey, you don't know that. Your rocket made it into the finals. There's a very good chance it could win.
Are you and Dad getting a divorce?
Honey, it's complicated.
Oh my God. We're
at Aunt Norris. And you're selling the house. You're getting a divorce, Mom.
No matter what happens, honey, what's most important is that you know that your dad and I love you so much.
All right, where is he? You know, why'd he forget the competition?
He's under a lot of pressure.
No, he's not the only one.
I know. Okay? And...
I don't want to talk.
He dumps the items on his nightstand into a box.
All right. I'll get started on lunch.
Yeah.
At the USAC, numerous satellite dishes and other instruments crown the glassy office building. Bill's truck pulls up to a gate by a guardhouse. Steve hunkers down in the backseat.
Got two guards here.
Does one of them look a little scary?
Yep, one guy looks a little scary.
That's Hank, he's a football fan. Ask him if the U of O Ducks won today.
U of O what?
Ducks.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry I'm late, but that meteor storm yesterday really screwed everything up.
You got some picture ID?
Yes, I do. Did that Ducks game get canceled?
No, they won.
They won? Oh, that's great. That's good. I really like that team. They're gonna go all the way this year, I think.
Wait here.
He pokes his head out and watches nervously as the guard moves down the van.
Oh, he went away. He looks mad.
Damn. Maybe he's a Beavers fan. You're not on the visitor roster?
Really? Because they called about the cable receptors. Must be some kind of problem on the east side of the building.
We're gonna need to search your vehicle.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah. He searched the vehicle.
Steve pops his head up and the guard taps the back doors.
Can you unlock this door, please?
Yeah, sure. One second. What are we doing here? We're just going to jail, or is that...
Here comes the cavalry.
What cavalry?
Your girl.
Sandra arrives and steps out of her van. Protesters pile out with signs.
Hey, you can't be here. This is private property.
Actually, this is government property, and it's paid for by our tax dollars. And we have the constitutional right to a peaceful protest.
Are you serious right now?
Isn't she, Sergeant?
This is not a safe place for... Hey, let him through. Put your camera down. Talk to me like a person.
I can see you.
Can you people just maybe move back 10, 15? This is a public roadway. Hey, if you could pull the wax, then...
The gate opens for Bill's van, and he drives on through. Sandra peeks at them from over her camera and smiles. Further inside the compound, he parks by a loading dock and shuts off the van. They climb out of the van, and the plastic strips hanging above the loading bay door flap in the wind. Steve surveys the area, and the brothers climb the steps and peek around a doorway into the loading zone. Steve leads the way through a doorway hung with plastic curtains. In a small room, both of them zip up in full-body blue protective suits and masks. The USAC logo is printed on the chest.
I feel a little claustrophobic.
We can do this.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Here we go.
Steve shows Bill into a cavernous space filled with ducks and catwalks.
What is this place?
This is where we built my satellite.
Crazy.
They shut this wing down the day after the scandal hit. Come on.
After pulling his mask tight around his nose and mouth, Bill follows Steve across the floor. They pass workers in similar gear.
Hello?
A pajama party or something.
So far, so good. Here, this one.
Okay.
Open it.
Yep, just give me a second. What am I, a magician?
Bill pries an electric box open near a doorway.
All right. There we go.
He sticks it with a screwdriver and it sparks. Steve turns around.
You okay?
Yep, everything's fine.
He wipes the box with his sleeve.
Smudges? Really?
Fingerprints.
You can't do that at home?
The door unlocks, and the two of them find a dimly lit room with multiple rows of workstations.
Oh, thank God they didn't dismantle it. All right, I need you to secure the door.
Okay, you got it.
Once we get this thing booted up, we're gonna have company pretty quick, right?
Yep. We're only gonna have a few minutes to make this work.
Steve opens a simple interface on a computer.
This is so cool.
Don't touch anything.
I'm not.
He enters the login code from Casey, and an array of dots appears on a screen.
That wasn't me, I swear.
I know. We're in.
Are you actually controlling a spy satellite right now?
Retired satellite. We're finally gonna use this as it was intended.
High above the Earth, a small satellite whirs. At the loading dock, Hank investigates Bill's parked truck. He leans his head through the open passenger window. He starts off elsewhere. At the computer, Steve loads a display that shows an enormous cluster of meteors floating towards the screen.
What are you doing now? I'm using the satellite's frequency generator to send out electromagnetic pulses at 2.5 microns. It's following the same trajectory as the meteor storm.
Okay, English. Will that let us find the asteroid?
I hope not.
What?
I'm praying that there's nothing else out there.
Oh, right.
He continues typing and Bill looks to the door. In the bullpen, Barker answers his phone.
Barker.
Yes, sir? We have a security breach.
Excuse me?
A cable repairman, unscheduled. We suspect he's somewhere in the building.
How the hell did he get past security?
The disturbance due to the protest is...
We'll find him.
Sir, ALAT's operating system has been accessed. It's online.
I want security in the ALAT lab now!
Casey keeps his head down. In the ALAT lab, Steve watches the mass of meteors drift closer and closer. He leans back in his chair.
Damn.
What damn?
It's another meteor storm. That's not the problem.
That's not the problem? What's the problem?
He clicks between layers until he highlights an enormous asteroid hidden behind the smaller rocks.
Asteroid.
Iridescent colors highlight the outline of the asteroid. Barker and a security guard run to the door of the lab, and Barker swipes his card, but the door doesn't open.
It's not working! Calculating point of impact.
A guard forces the first door open. The second door is wedged with a screwdriver.
We got company.
The computer calculates a position over South America.
Look out!
A guard slides a crowbar between the doors, and Barker stops him.
Hold on. Shut the power down in the lab now.
We're going to prison, right?
Prison's the last thing we should be worried about.
Steve zooms in on a portion of the asteroid.
Is that thing coming towards us?
Yes.
What? What? Shouldn't we, I don't know, get out there and tell people or something?
The computer fizzles out before it can finalize the predicted impact site.
They cut the power.
We're unarmed!
The brothers put their hands up. Barker and Casey meet with military officers.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have that report on your desk within the hour. Time to get back to work.
The Thomases are let in.
Do you realize how much trouble your brother is in because of you?
I take full responsibility for breaking into that lab.
And I take full responsibility for helping him.
You broke into a federal building and hacked into a satellite decommissioned on direct order from the president.
You're both going to prison for a very long time. We had no choice. I had to prove the existence of a dark asteroid.
What dark asteroid?
The massive one that collided with GX-210, turning it into that meteor storm. ALAT located it. The data indicates it's on a collision course with Earth.
It's impossible.
Russia's about to get hit by a meteor storm. Then Berlin, then London. The meteors will keep getting bigger.
And you know this how?
It's fundamental physics, Phil. In an asteroid collision, the resulting explosion flings debris further into space. The rest of GX-210 is still coming.
That's not the worst of it.
Really?
What is?
The second wave of destruction will be the dark asteroid. It is going to hit somewhere in the continental U.S., and it will be catastrophic.
It's true. I saw it with my own eyes right before you cut the power. Thanks for that.
Why won't you listen to me?
Because I don't trust you.
There are millions of lives at stake, Phil. This isn't about you and me. We need ALAT now. Call the Secretary of Defense while we still have time.
Get them out of here now.
Casey, tell him to put ALAT back online. We need to find a way to fix this. Casey!
Sir, maybe we should explore this.
Harris, did you help Thomas break into the lab?
No, sir.
Barker steps towards him, stopping inches from his face.
I hope not. Because if you did, you will be tried as a traitor along with him and his brother. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Get back to work.
Yes, sir.
Casey retreats. A spy satellite image shows Steve's large house from above. Inside, Maggie stops by Kyle's room. He sulks and continues packing.
Hun, I know this sucks, but we have to get it done. In case staging's gonna help sell the house.
I know.
Have you even touched your telescope room yet?
I'll get around to it.
Today, please.
He pulls on a sweater and leaves. Holding back tears, Maggie takes a few steps into the room. She plops down on the edge of Kyle's bed and pulls out her phone.
Hey, it's Steve. I'm not here, so leave me a message.
Steve, you can keep running from me. I can handle that, but you cannot do that to our son. Okay, you're gonna break his heart if you're not in that rocket competition tomorrow.
In a storage room at the USAC, Steve paces in zip-tied wrists while Bill sits on a movable staircase, his wrists also bound. A guard watches them from the hallway. Bill bangs his head against the stairway's railing.
You okay?
I'm great, considering we're handcuffed and, you know, locked in a room.
Sorry I ever got you into this mess.
Hey, think about the fun we could have if we got into serious trouble like this all the time, huh?
Time is running out. I need to find Maggie and Kyle before all hell breaks loose.
Okay, but something's gonna happen. It always does. We're the good guys, remember?
Yeah. Right.
His gaze falls to the floor, lost in thought.
What is it?
It's about to get intense out there.
In Moscow, Russia, meteors streak through the sky near St. Basil's Cathedral and over the Moskva River. A pedestrian covers her ears. The fiery rocks strike buildings and explode. At the USAC.
Just let me know if that number gets any higher.
Can I help you?
I'm Agent Jenkins. We're here to transfer Steve Thomas.
Well, none too soon. I hope he's locked up for the rest of his life.
I need to ask you a few questions.
Of course. Come to my office.
Barker, the agent, and a guard exit to the hallway. Casey, having heard the conversation, fidgets in his chair. Finally, he hurries out. An elevator door opens, and Casey gets in, then hits a button. In a hallway, Jenkins, Barker, and a guard stride together. Meanwhile, Casey attempts to settle his nerves in the elevator.
Please.
The door opens, and Casey approaches the guard outside the storage room.
Hey, Michael. Sounds like those protesters are causing more trouble, and Barker needs you at the gate.
What about these guys?
The feds just arrived and they're handling it.
Michael runs out, and Casey swipes his card to gain access to the storage room.
Come to say goodbye?
No, I've, come to break you out.
He holds up a blade and Steve shows him his restraints. Barker and the agent march closer while Casey slices the zip tie.
Thank
Are they close? Is it like a minute away?
Casey cuts Bill's zip tie.
Are you sure about what you saw?
Zero doubt. Try to convince them.
Do what I can.
We'll be in contact. Casey. Thanks.
Bill claps Casey on the shoulder. The brothers take a stairwell, and Casey flees in the opposite direction. The elevator doors open, and a guard keys open the door to the storage room. Jenkins stands by. Jenkins opens the door and finds the room empty. She frowns. On another floor, Steve and Bill wear lab coats and pretend to do work while Jenkins and the guards pass.
Call Douglas. Let him know we're wrapping this up in the next 10 minutes.
So yeah, we were just thinking...
Think this one?
Yeah, should be the one.
Should be the one.
Once Jenkins is gone, Steve nods to Bill.
Go.
They leave the other way, keeping their heads down while they pass a pair of agents.
Act natural.
Oh no. Are they looking?
Run, run, run!
Oh no!
This way!
An agent runs right into a cart, and Steve and Bill gain ground.
Walking, walking, walking. Oh no, agents!
Go,
agents,
go, go! Agents. Where? Go, go, up the stairs!
Steve douses an agent with a fire extinguisher, and the brothers duck into an office.
Go, go!
They got guns! They have guns! No.
They reach the loading dock.
I stole my van!
Steve notices the small group of protesters still shouting by the guard building.
This way! Go!
Jenkins and a guard burst out of the loading dock while Steve and Bill run through the gauntlet of protesters.
Over here!
Sandra flags them down, and they hop in her van, pursued by security guards. Sandra pepper sprays the guards and peels out.
FBI! Out of the way! Out of the way! FBI!
On the road.
That was close.
Close? That was intense, that's what that was. And you, with the pepper spray, I mean, that was amazing. That was hot. I'm sorry if that's weird for me to say, but it was totally hot.
In Rome, Italy, a view from a small window captures the blazing light from a meteor. It casts fast-moving shadows as it hurtles past a decorative dome. Numerous meteors hit buildings, sending up plumes of smoke. Meanwhile, in the Pacific Northwest, Sandra's van follows a bend in a rural road.
Okay, what do we find out? Are there more surveillance programs? Is A-Lab back online?
There's a lot to explain, but first, another favor.
Ask away.
Isn't she great? You're totally great. I need to get into the computer lab at the university.
Okay.
He checks his watch and a grim look washes over his eyes.
What?
Berlin. My calculations are correct. You're about to get pummeled.
I think I missed something. Who's about to get pummeled?
In Berlin, a television tower looms over the city, and the Brandenburg Gate attracts visitors. Two meteors head right at the gate. At the USAC, a pair of guards shoves Casey into a conference room. Barker doesn't look up from his papers.
Well, you surprised me, Harris. I didn't think you had the guts.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't be stupid. I saw the security cameras. What were you thinking?
I was thinking you were blinded by your own ego and I had to act.
Barker drops his pen and rubs the bridge of his nose, then rises.
You are on very dangerous ground, my friend.
I don't care. I'm not gonna stand by and let you ignore a potential threat to this planet.
Gentlemen,
Escort Mr. Harris from the premises, please.
You may have just signed humanity's death warrant.
Sir, Berlin just got hit with a meteor shower, bigger than Russia.
Get this man out of my sight. What do you got, Walter?
Come on.
Barker takes a look at a tablet. At home, Maggie smiles as she takes a look at framed photos of a younger Kyle. She packs them away in a box. She pauses and gazes at a photo of herself and Steve, smiling in each other's arms. Maggie tears up and looks away. She looks back at the photo, and a wave of emotion rushes in. In London, England, ships pass on the river near Big Ben and the London Eye. At a train station, a clock reads 9:05. A man in a suit looks to the skies in surprise as a volley of meteors strike the area. One meteor explodes inside the station. At a small campus, a banner reads Rocket Launch Competition. In the parking garage, Sandra parks the van and gets out with Bill and Steve. They notice a kid carrying a rocket.
The rocket show. I'm doing it to them all over again.
I feel you, but you gotta look at the big picture.
What's the big picture? Somebody wanna tell me what the hell is going on?
Tell her.
I got ALAT back online. It picked up another meteor storm, followed by a large asteroid headed towards Earth.
How large?
A diameter about twice the size of the Empire State Building. Impact sometime in the next 12 hours.
Where exactly?
Somewhere in the western continental U.S.
Oh my God. How bad is it?
Bad. Fall could affect the entire planet.
Bill urges Steve along, and Sandra catches up to them, still shocked. They move into the school's lobby.
You're telling me that no other countries' space programs saw this coming?
Not every satellite has infrared technology, and not every asteroid reflects sunlight. It was invisible until ALAT saw it.
Well, we have to warn the world. Where's the proof?
That's what we're here to get. How are we gonna do it if the access codes don't work?
Before Barker shut everything down, I opened a back door in their firewall.
Impressive, you're gonna hack the hackers.
I am. As soon as I can decipher this last encrypted password.
How long will that take?
A couple hours.
Is there anything we can do?
Yeah, you can find us some food.
Food's good.
Come with me.
Sandra and Bill head out together, and Steve analyzes a model of a satellite. Night falls over the United States. Later in the hallway outside Sandra's office, she and Bill stand at a vending machine.
Keep pressing it.
Okay.
Pressing
I
it.
Got it. Paper chocolate.
And...
Bill smacks the machine, and an item falls to the bottom.
Huh?
Where did you learn how to do that?
I got expelled from a lot of schools.
Oh.
Drove my parents nuts. But at least they had Steve, the star of the family. He had all the brains.
Well, there are different kinds of smarts. And I like yours better.
I like you. I mean, I like... you.
I know where we can find a hot drinks machine.
Yes. Hey, listen, wait. I know that I'm not the kind of guy that a woman like you hooks up with. I don't mean hook up, you know what I mean.
A woman like me?
Yeah, you know, somebody who's beautiful and smart and...
And what?
I just want you to know that I know that you're out of my league, and I'm okay with that.
Don't put me on a pedestal, Bill.
I'm not.
I'm not an angel.
I know.
I used you to get to your brother.
I'm cool with that.
I'm serious. Look, I really needed that story, and then I got to know this goofball a little bit better, and...
And there's a really good chance that something terrible is going to happen tomorrow. This could be our last night on Earth.
Would you like to hug?
Yeah.
She wraps her arms around him. After a moment, they separate and gaze deep into each other's eyes. Sandra kisses Bill. They hold the kiss a long while. At home, Kyle opens a door hidden in a bookcase and steps into a room hung with string lights. A telescope stands near the window. He sits on the window ledge, and Maggie appears in the doorway.
I thought I'd find you here. You're doing some last-minute calculations in your head again.
This competition is important.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with a whole new design where I could reduce the drag and increase the range, and the weather changed. My math, it has to be right.
You sound just like your dad.
A meteor streaks by among the stars.
Hey, did you see that?
Yeah. After what we saw yesterday, shooting star doesn't seem all that lucky.
Some of them still are.
Yeah.
I think you should make a wish.
I don't want you and Dad to get a divorce.
I know. It's late. Ken, you have a big day tomorrow. I think we should go to Nora's.
She leads him out. A much closer meteor flies by above the house. Morning in New York City, New York. Cabs weave in and out of lanes in busy traffic. A mass of pedestrians flows down a sidewalk in slow motion. Three meteors sail over the Empire State Building. The gleam from the meteors draws shadows over skyscrapers. A barrage of meteors rains down on the city. At the USAC, Barker carries a tablet over to a few of his workers in the operations room.
We're tracking it now.
Where are these news reports?
It's not news. Media blackouts used to be holding. It's social media. They're popping up everywhere. London, France. Sir, New York just took the biggest hit. Casualties in the thousands.
Bring it up.
A large swath of buildings burns in New York, and spy satellite captures video of the flames. Barker and his workers watch in disbelief.
Damn it. Where is this storm coming from?
Sir, Casey mentioned to me the possibility of a dark asteroid.
There is no dark asteroid, and Mr. Harris is no longer with us. I want facts, Walter, not theories. Adams, I need the diagnostic of our tracking systems.
All right, let's get on that diagnostic.
At 7 a.m., Steve continues working in Sandra's office. She bites her nails, and he types something in, gradually reducing the red locks on the model of the satellite.
Okay, look, you said a couple of hours, and now it's been all night. We have to get out of here before classes start.
I'm nearly there.
Bill, wake up.
Yeah, I'm awake. Did you get the encryption?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I'm in.
The entire satellite model glows blue. The server room at the USAC powers on, and the A-lot computers fire up. The A-lot satellite floats over the Earth.
I'm linking you in. Start a file. Print up everything you have. I need hard copies.
What can I do?
I can send emails. I can save stuff.
I'll use some more coffee.
Great.
I had A-Lad track the dark asteroid's dust residual back to its origin. It was a Trojan in Jupiter's orbit.
Well, why didn't it stay there?
Perturbation. Competition between the sun's gravitational pull and Jupiter's created enough orbital energy to fling it into space.
Like a slingshot.
More like a cue ball. It's hitting every other asteroid in its path, creating these meteor storms with incredible debris velocity. That's why we're having so much trouble tracking it.
Okay, but when exactly is the dark asteroid going to hit?
That's what I'm calculating now, including exact location. We need to send all of this out.
Yeah.
Blanket every news feed you can think of.
At the USAC.
We have a firewall breach. Someone's hacking into the ALAT system.
Can you track the intruder?
Yes, sir. Wyman University.
Lock him.
Trying, sir.
Barker dials a number.
Agent Jenkins, I have his location.
Barker knows I'm in. He's trying to block me.
He doesn't know we're here, does he?
It's an easy trace.
Well, if Barker knows that we're here, maybe Jenkins does too.
Who's Jenkins?
Agent with an attitude. You don't want to meet her.
We should really get out of here.
I'm almost there. Still calculating the exact size, velocity, and angle. Density measurement is problematic, but...
A black sedan pulls up outside the university, and a team of agents marches inside. A spy satellite follows their movements. Jenkins wears a tactical vest and leads her fellow FBI agents through the lobby.
Head that way in case it comes for his kid. The rest of you are with me.
Outside, a tall rocket advertises the competition. Kyle carries his rocket in with Maggie.
You got everything?
Got the rocket. Got the computer.
Okay.
We're good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people here. Whoa. That is some rocket they got there.
Yeah, well, sure made the students who designed it rich. Thing launches cable satellites into space.
I could be you someday.
In a hallway, Jenkins pulls a pistol from its holster. She eyes the rooms around her as she passes, and students look on, wary. In Sandra's office, Steve watches red dots populate a map of the Pacific Northwest.
We're ground zero for the meteors?
That's not the problem. Within the hour, an asteroid 3/4 of a mile wide is going to hit off the coast of Oregon at roughly 30,000 miles an hour.
We got to call Maggie. Tell her and Kyle to get the hell out of town.
Call them. There's no escape.
What about Washington, Montana, Idaho, the rest of the country?
No, the impact is going to destroy the West Coast. The consequences on the biosphere will be even more catastrophic. The sun will be blocked out by dust for at least a year. Plant life will die. Temperatures will plummet. There's nowhere to run.
We can contact the military. They can nuke it, blow it up.
Yes. I'm not exactly on their Christmas list. Even if they would listen to us, there's not enough time. I mean, it's too close. And we have another problem.
Another problem? What else could there possibly be?
The last of GX-210 is about to hit us.
So are you telling me that if we survive the meteors, we're just gonna wait around to get hit by the big one?
We have to try to convince them.
We have an idea. Do you still have that piece of meteorite I gave you?
Yeah, right over here.
I need to get back into the chemistry lab. Right, flood all the data to your online contacts.
Do you remember how to get there?
I think so.
What are we gonna do?
If we can't blow up that monster, maybe we can shrink it.
What? How?
I'll explain later. Come on.
He dashes out.
Be careful.
You too.
Bill hesitates, then pulls Sandra in and kisses her. After they break apart, Bill runs after his brother, and Sandra takes a seat at her desk. She smiles to herself. A sign in the competition room reads University International Astronautical Federation 23rd Annual Rocket Launch Competition.
Jeez. There's so many. Hey. Do you want to
call? Yeah.
Kyle signs a clipboard at the check-in table.
Thank you.
A competition organizer gives them a thumbs up. In a hallway, Steve uses Sandra's keycard to gain entry to the chemistry lab.
You were looking for hydrochloric acid.
Hydrochloric acid. Do you remember that acid bomb I made in the 11th grade?
Yeah, he took out a row of lockers. Lucky no one was hurt.
I was hurt. I got second-degree burns. I still got the scars.
No one's fault but your own. Grab me that cart.
Unbelievable. That was 20 years ago, and you're still lecturing me about it.
I'm sorry. What was your point?
How is hydrochloric acid supposed to shrink an asteroid?
You may need this.
A face shield.
Now, when I tested the meteorite before, ammonia reacted to trace elements of sodium phosphide. It caused the sample to expand rapidly.
Steve draws some acid into a pipette.
Acid molecules are ionized water. Sodium phosphide is ionic. The two together should cancel one another out and cause the meteor to shrink.
Should?
Yeah. I know it's a long shot, but you should stand back.
Steve drips the acid into a bowl with a meteorite chunk. It flashes and shoots up a puff of smoke.
Whoa. Whoa.
Steve takes off his face shield and sees that the metal bowl is warped.
It's gone.
No, it imploded. Instantaneous chain reaction.
Okay, but can it take out an entire asteroid?
Yeah, it might, if we had the right delivery system.
Well, in that case, why don't we just go over to Kyle's rocket competition?
That's a great idea.
Come on. What? I was kidding. They're children.
Elsewhere on campus, Jenkins and Douglas aim their weapons ahead, peering into each room.
There she is. Move, move.
They spot Sandra in her office. The agents surround her at gunpoint, and she puts her hands in the air. Slowly, she rises from her seat and faces Jenkins.
Where are they? Who? The Thomas brothers. Where are they? Sorry, I don't know who you're talking about. Talk, or I'll arrest you for abetting a felon, inciting a riot in a federal building.
Sandra eyes Douglas, then Jenkins. She sits and puts her wrists together, inviting them to cuff her. Jenkins turns to Douglas.
Stay here. Don't let her touch anything. You two are with me.
Everyone but Douglas troops out, and Sandra lowers her hands. In the competition room, Maggie holds her phone to her ear while she paces.
Come on, Steve, pick up.
Hey, it's Steve. I'm not here, so leave me a message.
You talked to him?
No, hon. He didn't answer.
Okay, well, what about Uncle Bill?
Midday sun lights the city's downtown. The old man whose cable bill fixed opens his garden gate holding a bag of trash. Tottering, he shuts the gate behind him and opens a garbage can. He drops the bag inside. Surprised by the sound, he looks up and sees a shower of meteors on its way to blast the city. The glow from a meteor lights him up, and the rock flies right at him. A white flash obscures the yard. At the university, people notice a meteor headed in their direction. Maggie pulls Kyle away from the flash of the meteor just as a window explodes in slow motion. The shockwave knocks down a display and sends people to the floor. They race for the exits in a panic. Maggie and Kyle follow the flow of the crowd. A woman topples over a table. One meteor breaks into pieces a few hundred feet above the ground. The gawkers outside flee the area. Inside, Bill and Steve vault over a railing.
said within an hour. I thought you meant, you know, an hour.
This is the remains of GX-210. The asteroid's still coming.
Don't move! Everybody on the floor!
They find themselves surrounded by FBI agents with raised weapons. Outside, dozens of meteors pelt the city. One rock blasts through the ceiling by the Thomases, and everyone falls. While the agents get their bearings, Bill and Steve slip out a doorway. Jenkins tries to catch up with them. In the chaos outside, people run both inside and outside.
Do you copy?
You have to leave or we're going to die in here!
Just stay down! We're not going anywhere until I get an order!
A meteor collides with the wall of the office, and papers scatter around Douglas and Sandra, who take cover behind the desk. Sandra grabs a desk phone, and Douglas talks into his radio.
Jason, what's the 20?
Sandra conks him on the head with the phone, and he goes down. She leaps over debris to exit. In a hallway filled with people, Sandra spots Steve and Bill.
Over here!
Sandra!
Bill hugs Sandra, and an agent finds them. He aims his gun, but Bill grabs him. Jenkins arrives and sees Bill shove the agent around. She shoots him in the chest. Steve takes the chance and sprints out carrying the acid in a canister. Jenkins and another agent follow him outside, but they lose sight of him. At the USAC, the instruments atop their building now form a pile of burning rubble. Sparks fly in the operations room.
Shut it down! Shut it down now!
Sir, there's an email flooding our network. It's a warning from Steve Thomas about some kind of incoming asteroid.
Open it up.
Attached to the email is a photo of the large asteroid.
God, what have I done?
Meanwhile, meteors continue to fall on the city. One rock flips a passerby head over heels. Steve jumps over a hedge, nearly missing a meteor. They continue to streak past him as he runs. Jenkins and two other agents on Steve's tail match his pace. Inside the school, Maggie and Kyle struggle through the crowded halls.
Walk! Stay close.
We're both dead!
Your dad's gonna find us, okay? We cannot stay in here! This way.
They duck out of the sight of a couple of G-men. Steve hurries across a lawn. Steve stands in the path of an approaching meteor, and the agents hold behind him. At the last moment, he dives out of the way, and one of Jenkins' partners is thrown through the air. Steve looks up, ears ringing. He quickly gets to his feet and makes a line across the campus. All around him, kids, students, and parents search for safety. Steve ducks behind a decorative rock and avoids detection by two agents. Upon seeing a new wave of meteors in the sky, they take off. Steve runs into Maggie and Kyle, who both hug him.
Dad! Oh.
I thought I lost you too.
Meteors fly overhead. They duck again and again. More blazing trails appear above them. One final meteor breaks up in the air and splits into smaller chunks. Smoke rises from hundreds of spots in the city. The Thomases venture out into the open.
Is it over?
The asteroid catches fire as it speeds through the atmosphere.
It's not over.
They glimpse the glow of the asteroid in the clouds.
Guys?
What is that?
It's a planet killer. Maggie, I'm sorry for everything, but I think I can stop this with this chemical reaction. I'm gonna need your help, bud. Is there anything here that can carry a 3-pound payload to a 10,000 kilometer range?
There's only one rocket here that can reach that altitude.
Take me to it. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on.
The family gathers around the tall rocket outside the front of the building.
It uses a ramjet engine. It's fully loaded for launch. I think I can access its operating system.
Here is all the data, including trajectory.
Okay,
help me brace this. Can you hold it?
Okay.
Right there.
We only get one shot of this, don't we?
We'll make it count.
They prepare the rocket on its platform. At the USAC, sparks fly in the operations room.
General, the asteroid is too damn big. Even if we do nuke it, the resulting debris would kill us.
Yes, sir. I understand.
Asteroid will impact in 5 minutes.
They track the projected impact site. At the university, Steve removes the nose cone from the rocket while Maggie holds it steady. The asteroid plummets closer without braking. Steve inserts the acid canister in the body of the rocket, and Kyle smiles as he connects his laptop to the rocket's trajectory system.
I'm in. Okay, great. Now you have to target the asteroid.
Dad, it's traveling at like 30,000 kilometers an hour. I can't...
Look at me. You are the smartest rocket scientist I know, Kyle. And you can do this math in your sleep.
Dad.
No, there's no time. Now I need to hardwire this. You have to do the calculations. I know you can do this.
3 minutes to impact.
At the USAC, Barker and his team gather around a monitor.
I am so sorry.
Kyle types with a furrowed brow.
How you doing, Kyle? Stay focused, bud.
Velocity and mass divided by distance multiplied by pi.
Kyle inputs data, and an interface shows no projected intersection of the rocket with the asteroid.
Dad?
The asteroid now looms large right above them.
Steve?
Come on.
Kyle's computer commands tweak the angle of the rocket. Finally, the software parses data and locks on its target.
Okay, it's ready.
Upload the data.
Okay, ready.
Launching.
Steve hits a switch, and the rocket sails at the asteroid. Steve throws his arms around his family.
Sir, we're tracking a missile launch from the university.
The rocket corkscrews toward the flaming ball of rock.
Come on, please work, please work.
A trail of smoke draws out the line of the rocket. It grows more distant by the second. The rocket collides with the asteroid and turns it a bright shade of green.
Wasn't that supposed to happen?
Wait.
All at once, the asteroid implodes and sends off rays of light like a firework. At the USAC, Barker sighs while his team celebrates.
Thank you, Steve Thomas.
Maggie holds her husband tight. Bright green meteor tails diffuse across the city and disappear before they hit the ground. Now, at Steve's house, Bill sits on the couch in a sling and rings a bell.
Someone bring me some ice water with no ice, please.
Steve, Maggie, and Kyle come downstairs.
Okay, pal, I'm pretty sure you didn't get shot in the leg.
It hurts.
Oh.
Hey, check it out. Sanders' new vlog is up.
Good, good, good. Put it on.
Go, Your Majesty.
Oh, thank you.
Good evening, and welcome to the world's alternative and independent news source. Today, the president announced his Take Back the Skies program and the appointment of controversial whistleblower Stephen Thomas as its director.
Controversial.
After being vilified by politicians in the mainstream media, Thomas's remarkable return to grace has been linked to the destruction of the mysterious dark asteroid responsible for last month's meteor shower. We here at Freedom Network salute you, Stephen Thomas, a true American patriot and hero.
Maggie kisses Steve's forehead, and he kisses her hand. Credits: Mark Lutz, Robin Dunn, Anna Van Hooft, Emily Ullerup, Lachlan Monroe, Sharon Taylor, Viv Leacock, Peter Brown, Joshua Ballard. Music by Christopher Nickel, editor Gordon Rempel, production designer Bob Bottieri, director of photography Christopher Charles Kempinski. Executive producers Fernando Su, Michael Moran, Ivan Hayden, Andrew Levine, Jason Fisher, Robin Dunn, Kim Arnett. Produced by Ivan Hayden, written by Daniel Winters, directed by Jason Bourque.